beer. We really had a good time.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Larry, you were telling me about the vacation you had with your family at the beach, huh?
I went with my mother, actually, Phil, to the beach.
Well, I know you're separated from your wife, right?
Yeah, I haven't. Well, Janet and I have been divorced for 3 years.
Boy, I'm putting my foot in my mouth, or my mouth on my foot here right off the bat. You went to the beach, you took your mother to the beach.
For a family vacation, and I did see my kids, but Janet and I have been divorced for a good 3 years.
Okay. Sorry for even bringing up...
No, that's all right. We had a terrific time. Saw the kids, had a wonderful time.
Okay, but what we want to talk about is a new biography of President Richard Nixon.
Right.
This is called The Arrogance of Power, The Secret World of Richard Nixon by Anthony Summers. Richard Nixon, the former president. In the book, there are a number of things that are brought up that the author accuses the former president of indulging in, including the abuse of prescription drugs and some angry moments with his wife, Pat Nixon.
Right.
Larry, you are the chairman of the Conservatives of Kern County, longtime Republican president. How do you see the Nixon presidency? And then we'll get into this this book.
Phil, I think that Richard Nixon was second only to Lincoln. As far as one of our great Republican presidents.
What about Reagan?
No, I don't think Ronald Reagan even belongs in the same ballpark with Richard Nixon. I don't think Ronald Reagan had one-tenth of Nixon's savvy when it came to foreign affairs. I don't think he had even a fraction of Nixon's knowledge when it came to historical event. Even his grasp of domestic issues, which was probably Ronald Reagan's real strong suit. He was nowhere near Nixon's. Ronald Reagan was a Cub Scout den mother compared to Richard Nixon.
Wow, a Cub Scout den mother.
Absolutely, because I think that Reagan was one of these newbie politicians who had a philosophy roughly sketched out, implemented by other people. No, I think you insult Nixon when you put him in the same category with a Reagan, who is a California Republican, newbie politician, a guy who was, he was the waving model on the float of new conservatism. But I wouldn't say this guy belongs in the same ballpark with Nixon.
All right, now have you seen this book?
I've heard about it. Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I remember an old Burger King commercial where they used to say, "Where's the beef?" And that's the same thing with this book. They're accusing President Nixon. First of all, he's a former president, and I think the disrespect that he is treated with by this Irish journalist, who's not even an American writer, I think is way out of bounds. But be that as it may, because today, if you're anybody can urinate on the flag, as you know, Phil, it doesn't make any difference whether or not you're an American. You can be French. You can be Russian. You can be Chinese. You can be African. And you're allowed to urinate all over the American flag and to, and to vilify our presidents.
All right, but beyond the angry rhetoric, okay?
Well, no, it's not angry rhetoric.
What do you think of this book? The book says that President Nixon abused prescription drugs.
I think that it compromises the president. I also think that this book has very little of interest in it. This book does nothing but dredge up meaningless trivia that might help you win a trivia contest, but not much else. Okay?
All right, well, let's take a look at these individual things. It says Nixon was addicted to Dilantin and other drugs, which can cause confusion and psychotic episodes.
Right. It's nothing. So when you talk about addiction to prescription drugs, I want you to be very careful because you're on a talk radio station, and you're talking to a talk radio audience. A good 60% of people listening to talk radio, and your audience right now, they can't make it through a day without Valium. About 60 to 70% of talk radio listeners can't get through the morning without some form of hyperactive, hypersensitive, antipsychotic medication. So when you say that President Nixon abused prescription drugs, join the club.
Most Americans are involved in abusing prescription drugs, or most...
You can say, you call it tomato, I call it tomato, huh? You see, you say potato, I say potato. If you say abusing prescription drugs, I say it's just trying to help them get from the breakfast hour to the coffee break. Most people can't get from that Egg McMuffin to their 10:15 coffee break without a handful of Prozac. So So,
well, I don't know where you're getting your information.
I'm getting my information. I live in this country. That's where I'm getting my information. I got to drive on the same streets with these people. So I don't know where you're coming off. But I will tell you that to say that President Nixon was addicted to prescription drugs is like saying, hey, Phil, the sun rises in the east. Big deal. And he's no different from 99% of the American people who couldn't get into their pants in the morning without first taking a shot of something.
All right. What about here? See, I don't know. That's the world of psychotropics and pharmaceuticals. And
yeah, I know. You don't know anything about that. But I get that.
No, I do not know anything about it, Larry. I don't use that stuff.
No, I understand that. But, you know, you are one of the gifted few. Most people need to have that. Most people can't put a sock on without spanking up a vein on their arm. And it goes to show you, I think, that
most people can't put a sock on without spanking a vein up on their arm. That's what you just said?
That's exactly what I said.
And you're talking about Americans.
I'm talking about this country. Do you want to know why it is this country is doing a little bit better? I think everybody's in control of their anxiety and in control of their neurosis a little bit better.
All right, Larry Grover is with me. I'm Phil Hendry. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about a book about President Nixon, which alleges, among other things, that he abused Dilantin and other drugs, other prescription drugs, which caused confusion and might have caused some psychotic episodes. It's a book that is a real muckraking thing. There's no doubt about it, Larry. But let's get into this next thing. That the most serious allegation, that he was a wife beater, that he beat up his wife, Pat.
All right, again, it's an unfortunate thing. But what husband, Phil, I'm going to ask you honestly, what husband hasn't from time to time needed to physically restrain or alter the attitude of his wife?
I don't know what you mean by that. I have never physically restrained.
Well, you may not have. What I'm saying from time to time, how long have you been married?
I've been married 3.5 years. I don't think that I'm going to need to physically restrain my...
Well, I can tell you this, Phil. I was married for 9 years. And I know a lot of guys who have been married for a little bit longer than you. You do not get married without at least looking at the possibility and the unfortunate possibility of having to slap a little sense into your wife. Now, I'm not saying it's right.
Come on.
No, I'm not saying it's right.
Come on, Larry. You're talking about the President of the United States supposedly slugged Pat Nixon, his wife, and gave her a black eye.
Phil, let me say this. You've just lost the... Now, I know when that happened was right after he lost the gubernatorial race in California, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, you've just lost the governorship of California, and you've said one of the stupidest things you could say. You've said the following phrase, you won't have Nixon to kick around anymore. You walk off stage. Now, the information that I have is that Pat Nixon walked up to Richard Nixon after he said the words, you won't have Nixon to kick around anymore. And she said to him, yeah, that'll go down in history along with 47 years ago. And she barely got the word out, and he clocked her.
Now, you're saying the president hit her right after she smart-mouthed
him. She smart-mouthed him. And he hit her with a right. He opened a cut up over her left eye. They had to butterfly it. But that's why he got angry. And I will tell you, Phil, once a month, I would think that it's understandable...
You're talking about the president, Richard Nixon, hitting his wife, giving her a black eye, and that's business as usual.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it happens in this country. You're going to single out Richard Nixon? You're going to single out most American men. From time to time, a man is going to clock his wife. And I'm not saying with a full-on punch, but maybe with a slap, maybe with a cuff across the jaw, maybe a couple of quick slaps to each ear. And I don't know if you've ever been slapped in the ears, but you can get somebody's attention by just a quick 1-2 over one each ear, slapping the ear. Because what it does is it compresses...
I don't need to know what it does.
I'm telling you, Phil...
What you're telling me, my man, is that President Nixon, therefore, physically abused Pat Nixon to the point where she had a black eye, and he was popping pills.
And I'm telling you that.
And you don't find that a extremely disturbing revelation?
I'm telling you, if you live in America, Phil, this is the way it is. I don't think it's any big deal. I think guys like you make it a big deal. I think people on the television set make it a big deal. This is not anything other than business as usual, America. They keep this thing under wraps. I think you've got yourself a much better country. And this guy is going to sell his book.
All right. Larry Grover with us, 1-800-449-8686. President Nixon allegedly slugged his wife and took drugs that caused a mood change. And as far as you're concerned, Larry, that's just there's no...
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? It's no big thing.
And guys are slapping their wives all over the place.
Phil, if you're not doing it, it doesn't mean other guys aren't doing it, okay?
Well, none of the people that I know.
I don't care whether you know. Men are doing it. Sometimes you got to do it. The left-wing liberal media wants us to believe that we don't slap our wives around. The liberal media wants us to believe that we come home at night, we kiss her on the lips, we pinch her on the rear end, we pour ourselves a glass of sherry, we raise our pinky finger, and we sip it ever so delicately. You know the reality. We come home, we throw on a wife-beater T-shirt, we push her up against a wall, and we ask for our dinner. And
Well, I don't know what world you're living in, man.
I live in America, and I drink Schlitz.
1-800-449. So President Nixon's right there then, huh? 1-800-449. Put him on hold. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. We talked to Larry Grover here about a new book about President Nixon. The book is called Arrogance of Power, The Secret World of Richard Nixon. In it, they allege that Nixon was given prescription drugs that he abused and that he was physically abusive to his wife, Pat, including giving her a black eye after he lost the California gubernatorial race in 1962. One pretty serious charges. According to Larry, it's business as usual in America, and it's nothing that should be brought out about a president. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. I didn't say that Richard Nixon was trailer trash. I said that Richard Nixon was a president subject to a lot of pressures that might cause him to do these things, okay?
Well, even if he was caused to do these things, Phil.
Hold on. Let me tell everybody that this is Larry Grover from the...
I'm Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, and this is Phil Henry, your host.
I'm Phil Henry, the host.
And we're talking about Richard Nixon. Does he beat his wife? He doesn't beat his wife anymore because he's been dead for 6 years, unless he's up there in heaven beating her. And I can tell you, for Richard Nixon, maybe heaven is clocking Pat.
But you want to make a joke about this, huh?
Huh?
You're making a joke?
No, I'm not making a joke. I'm saying that whatever this Irish writer says about Nixon being a guy that beat his wife and took prescription drugs, it's no different than what most Americans do. And I think the reason why he put it into a book is because he is Irish, because he doesn't get the American mentality, and because as an Irishman, they don't understand that that's what we do over here.
Well, you got Ireland over there with about 8 kids to a family and a bunch of guys rolling home from the pub at 1 o'clock in the morning. You don't think they're smacking their wives around over there?
No, I don't.
And why not?
Because I think they're a religious people, they're a Catholic people, and they have a better religious underpinning in Ireland than they do here. Yeah, they've got a lot of kids, and yeah, they go to the pub, but no, I don't think they beat their wives, not with the same enthusiasm we do over here.
Boy, oh boy.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Vancouver on the Phil Henry Show, hello.
Hi there. Yes, sir.
I
just had to call in and make a comment. I just wanted to know what kind of credentials this guy Larry has for making social comments.
I'm a Republican Party.
I'm a
member of the Republican Party.
Well, there's a lot of people that are members of the Republican Party, but I was just wondering, because anyone who would get on national radio and make comments like it's okay in a marriage, in a relationship, to be beating on your spouse.
Don't you think it's understandable?
No, I don't. I was going to make the comment that you also said that you were married for 9 years. I would assume that means past tense. Is that correct?
My wife and I separated 4 years ago. We've been divorced for 3.
Oh, and I'm sure you probably had part of that as your physical violence as part of your relationship.
Physical violence? In other words, you're telling me that when a woman says to you, you can't go bowling tonight, I'm not allowed to cuff her.
No, you're not allowed.
You're absolutely not allowed to.
That's what we're saying.
That's ridiculous. And you said I was, and that was my first clue, I was married for 9 years.
And what do you mean by cuff her?
I told you, just do, it's an ear slap.
This guy, see, that's what I mean. Larry, you're totally off base. First of all, I mean, you have no credibility when you say something like that.
No, sir.
What is the conservative what of Kern County?
Conservatives of Kern County is... Well, I don't... Sir, where are you calling from? I may not have heard of you either. I mean, the point
I'm sure you... I don't get on the radio and act like I'm some kind of authority on the morals and the conservative values of America.
Well,
and then say, number one, that it's okay to clock your wife.
I didn't say it was...
And say, number two, that 70% of Americans take Oh, actually, I think you made the comment that 99%.
You said 99% of Americans.
No.
I think when you guys, I said most Americans can't put one pant leg on without at least some kind of a. Are you telling me you get a? What do you take?
What's that?
What do you take?
I take no pharmaceutical medication.
You were about to, huh?
And I can tell you that your numbers are in error. I'm a representative of the pharmaceutical industry here in the United States. And I can and I represent the fourth most popular drug or most prescribed drug in the country. The number one and number four drugs are not even psychotropic or anything to do with the mind.
Listen, there
and,
is
and
one week.
They are nowhere close to being prescribed.
Wouldn't you agree that there's at least one week a month that it's unnatural not to slap some sense into a wife?
You know what?
What are you talking? Is it because you're such a fan of Richard Nixon's that you would forgive the possibility that he gave his wife a black eye?
All I'm saying is they're making this. This is some Mick Ryder from Ireland who's saying, "Oh, look at what they're doing in America." In America, sometimes we belt our wives. You don't feel good for you. This guy doesn't. Good for him. Occasionally.
This is the thing that gets me though. It's people that continue to have incendiary rhetoric like this that are what politics are about in the United States. Well, where's your degree from, sir?
I don't have it from. I went to junior college.
From what? Hard Knocks University. Never made it through college. Never probably studied. What's your
Let me tell you something. Where I went to college,
I
went more like Knockers University. Okay, so read that and weep. But I will
I'm saying. That's my point. This is really good for talk radio because it's incendiary statements.
Absolutely, to say that.
The problem with American politics today is that people like you are the only ones being heard.
Wait a minute, you guys act like a black eye is the worst thing in the world.
When you hit a woman, when you physically abuse your wife, you're doing something very serious. It's a crime. It's a felony. You can go to jail. Richard Nixon, were he subject to the same laws that we are, and, you know, a president of the United States gets away with more, would go to jail.
Well, actually, no. In 1962, a woman would have to press charges.
So you know what I'm talking about.
You know, you're talking about Richard Nixon.
All right.
The thing is, I have a degree in political science.
You guys understand something. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm simply saying that Nixon comes off of the podium after losing the gubernatorial race, after being humiliated by Pat Brown, and his wife says, "Nice one. That's really bright. That's as good as the force going 7 years ago." I think his left hand came up just automatically and knocked a little black and blue into her. That's all.
Well,
Phil, you've never been in that position, so don't comment.
I can tell you that no matter how disappointed I've been, I'm not going to just automatically clock somebody. Troy, New York, on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi there.
Yes.
First of all, where does this man get his statistics from?
Well, I don't know, ma'am. Have you got statistics?
No, I don't.
Okay,
but of all the women I've
my
known
statistics.
in my 30 years of working and of having girlfriends and friends,
I've
known one woman who's been beaten by her husband.
Okay. That's fine. I don't know who you are. Maybe you live in a cave someplace. I'm just telling you America.
Because
I'm involved in the American process.
Well, we all are, dear.
Okay, anything else, ma'am?
We live, work, and breathe in America. We're involved
okay.
in the process.
Thanks for calling. Here is Wichita on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, okay. I think
yes, sir.
The worst thing you can do in the world is probably to hit a woman. But
I agree.
But you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Did you hit your wife?
What?
Did you hit your wife?
I said I gave her an ear cuff.
What exactly is an ear cuff?
When you take both hands and you just slap into the ear. Okay?
Wow.
That's not hitting a woman. That's giving her a little, that's just giving her a ringing sensation in the head. And it reminds her of who she is.
All right, here is Portland on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, so I talked to Phil Henry.
Oh, I got the wrong line. Here is Portland on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Larry. You've obviously came from a family of violence when you were brought up. I've been married 20 years.
Violence?
Never hit my wife. And
did you ever slug your brothers? Did you ever slug a sister?
I don't even have a sister.
Okay.
I had three brothers.
Okay, you guys never got into slug fests.
Oh, yeah.
Came from a family of violence, too.
No. Not when you
thing.
Talk about hitting your wife, man.
What's the difference?
You know, that is totally gutless. When you got to go
saying,
and hit a woman.
I'm not saying that I hit her. I didn't put her in the hospital. I just reminded her that it's 8 o'clock dinner. 8
yeah,
o'clock
but
dinner.
You,
all right,
1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry's show here, 1-800-449-8686. And we were talking about Richard Nixon, the biography of Richard Nixon called The Arrogance of Power, The Secret World of Richard Nixon, a book about the president's drug alleged drug usage, you know, taking prescription drugs and the fact that he was allegedly beating his wife and giving her a black eye. And Larry talking about, well, wouldn't you, after you lose the gubernatorial race? And what's amazing to me is that they're still writing books about this guy. And the other thing that's amazing is they're still writing nasty books about the guy. I mean, the guy is, it's over with him, okay? Let him just sit there and molder in the underworld. And like Larry indicated, maybe he's up in heaven right now having a go at it with Pat as we speak. Maybe he's just smacking her around. So I wanted to mention one other thing to you guys today, this being a Monday after another typical week at the Hendry House, another typical weekend at the Hendry House, and that is Weight Watchers is in my life. Now, I was, as you know, battling this thing with, I don't know if you guys were listening a few months back, I was battling this fat thing with the Atkins diet. And the Atkins diet I found to be useless. And the reason why I found it to be useless is, number one, all we were doing was eating meat and cheese and not going to the bathroom but every 4 days. And frankly, when we did, it was a little bit of blood. So we decided that we don't need that. That was my experience with the Atkins diet. Let's eat nothing but meats, cheeses, and eggs. Only go to the bathroom every 4 days, and when you do, liberal amounts of blood. Now, they don't mention that, do they? So I got off of that, and I went back to donuts. Now I'm at 255. I got off of that, I went back to donuts and cigarettes. I'm kidding about the cigarette part, but, well, maybe not. Well, yeah. I went back to donuts and beer. Now I'm at 255, and the next step now is Weight Watchers. That's the next thing, because I saw my old friend Andy Kalb from New York and his wife, and she'd lost a lot of pound on this Weight Watchers thing. I mean, she looked fantastic, because the last time I saw Maria, she was, you know, she needed some help, man. She had lost a lot of weight on this thing, and I said to my wife, how about that? She goes, yeah, it's a point system. They give you points, and fruits and vegetables are zero, so you can have as many of those as you want. I go, that's pretty good. Fruits and vegetables. She goes, yeah, but salad dressing is points. And then all of a sudden, all the really cool stuff is points. So yeah, you can eat as much lettuce as you want, but the minute you put one drop of salad dressing on it, so supposedly you get like, I don't know how many points a day or a week. Yeah, you get like 35 or 40 points a day. Are you familiar with the Weight Watchers? So you get points per day. And the points enable you, you look at the point system, go, okay, I get 3 points for this, or I get 4 points for that, I'm going to get 5 more points for this, and I can eat that up till 35 points. So a hamburger is 5 points, or a yogurt is 10 points, or whatever the hell it is. Now, you can have all the fruits and vegetables you want, that's got no points to it. But the minute you drop just one little bit of vinaigrette on that thing, that's like 100 million points. So you can have one thing, you can have all the lettuce you want, and like a drop of salad dressing. Or you can have, for instance, a beer has a certain number of points. And somebody asked, and I think rightfully so, can I just go ahead and drink all my points for that day? And I said, yeah, that sounds pretty good to me, too. So let's say beer is 3 points. 3 goes into 35. You got about 11, 12 beers a day. So if you only have 35 points and say lettuce is 0 points and bacon bits is 100 points, well, you just went over. I think what you got to do is have all the beer and lettuce you want. Anyway, that's what I'm going to do. Because I got to do something here, man, real fast. It's not right. I used to be a svelte, sleek, quasi-good-looking guy, and I'm just a butterball. And I'm, huh? Look at this. Oh, yeah, I had long hair, and I had, yeah. I had long, my engineer, Craig Taylor, is reminding me that at one time, I used to walk around with just, you know, a Fu Manchu and long hair, and I was still fat. So this point system, and we're going to go to the meeting. Now, how come you got to go to a meeting? Why can't you just go and get your points and split? I guess they got to weigh you and humiliate you in front of a bunch of other fatheads. So they'll put me on a scale. And we'll go at it, man. Now, I can also do what Mike Schaefer's doing. He's drinking Slim Fast. Why? I don't know. This guy's not fat at all. He's on that Slim Fast kick. He's sitting there sucking a can of that crap in the morning. I bet you you're starving right now. Are you hungry? You had a can of Slim Fast for lunch and you're just fine, huh? You're tidied right up? Yeah, bullcrap. It's like going to AA meetings, man. That's what we need. I need an AA food meeting. So that's what Weight Watchers is. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to admit that food is more powerful than me. I'm going to admit that linguine and clam sauce is far more powerful than I am. And I'm going to go in there and sit down and listen to a lot of preaching and get my points and split. Oh, man. Either that or I'm going to get on this Slim Fast kick that Schaefer's on. He drinks a six-pack for breakfast, a six-pack for lunch, and a six-pack of Slim Fast for dinner. You know what? Instead of Slim Fast and instead of the Weight Watchers, you know, a sit-up is a nice thing. How's about we just get out there and do a little like we can't exercise. That means we actually get out of bed in a half hour, an hour earlier. Go out, do a sit-up, ride a bike, jog, something like that. I just don't have the time anymore. I have to sleep. I got to sleep and I got to watch Survivor. And I had to watch Sopranos last night. I don't have any time to do any jogging. And what am I going to do with all that barbecue we had at the Roadhouse Grill last night? Here's what I had for dinner last night, being ever conscious of my weight. Prime rib, pork ribs, and those garlic mashed potatoes. How many points is that? About 683,000. And considering I only get 16 a day, I think I went over a little bit. You can have as much fruit and vegetables as you want. And if can I have prime rib? Sure, you can have prime rib. You can have about that much prime rib. You mean the 10-ounce cowboy cut? No, what do you mean cowboy cut? Look, man, don't look at me like that. Don't smile at me like that. I got your cowboy cut. No, we're talking about you can maybe have, you can't have any steak or prime rib, can you? Because that'll go over the limit for the day, the big point limit. Anyway, that's the latest thing that we're trying, and I'll tell you if it works or not. Because I ain't going to do one more personal appearance. I'm not doing any one-man shows. I ain't doing nothing until I take this fat off. And it ain't because I give a crap what anybody thinks I look like. I'd like to be happy with myself. I'd like to love me. According to Weight Watchers, you can have ribs, 2 grams of ribs a day. You can have exactly 2 grams of meat a day. Just enough to put in one of those little cups that they dispense the sauce in at El Pollo Loco. That's how much meat you get to have. What am I, with freaking Captain Bly here in the middle of the lawn? I've just been set adrift by Fletcher Christian. Weight Watchers, I'm on a starvation diet on my way to the Great Barrier Reef. I'm in an open launch. The sun is beating down. We get like a half a cup of water a day. That's Weight Watchers. I don't know. I have no idea. But what I would probably do better with is being cast adrift in an open launch in the middle of the South Pacific, and I have to catch birds and fish, and I have to catch rainwater in the sail. In other words, you know, die. Starve to death. You want to lose weight? Yeah. You too fat? Yeah. Okay, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do a new TV show. It's called Lose Weight Fat Ass. We'll stick you on an island, and you can eat whatever you find there, and we'll just film you. We're not doing any contests. We're not walking through hot coals. We're not holding onto someone's pole. We're just going to stick you on an island, and it's called Fat Ass is the name of the show, and we will just stick a camera on the island, and every week we'll check in with Fat Boy and see how he's doing as he gnaws on rats and tree bark and sucks on coconut and whatever he can find out there. He's sucking on a grunion's head. We don't know what. You know what it'll be called, the new CBS show? Diet. Not Survivor, Diet. You're out on an island, and let's just see what happens. And instead of putting out the torch, they'll just take the plate of food away from the guy. I'm sorry, you must go. They take away prime rib, they take away the garlic mashed potatoes, and Fat Boy is led off into a sweat box someplace. They put him in a steam machine, into a sauna. How about that? And on the new show Diet, you find out who lives and who gets eaten. Because what you don't know is there is a man-eating cannibal tribe on the island someplace. Anyway, we'll work it out, man. It's a concept, soon to be a development deal, soon to be a pile of crap. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686. So That's what I did this weekend. I had garlic mashed potatoes, a bunch of, you know, those ribs, a bunch of that prime rib, and then talked when we got home about going on a diet. And then came home, and also, one other thing, we're collecting animals at our house at a record clip. See, here's the deal. I know that kids love animals. It's a beautiful thing. It warms the heart. I also know that a kid says, I want a dog, I want a cat, I want a bird, I want a rat, I want a snake. And then in about 3 weeks, they forget that they ever owned it. They forget that the thing's there. And guess who winds up taking care of it? At this writing, at this juncture in the proceedings, I should say, and in my collection of proceeds, I'm the guy that takes care of everything at our house. I'm taking care of the cat, the rat, and now the fish. Because the kids don't give a crap. Now, when we got that cat, I'll never get them saying to me, hey, we'll take care of it. We'll clean the crap box out. Yeah, the crap box. We got to the point now where we have to assign the crap box to a kid a week. And, man, they can't stand cleaning that cat box. And I don't know why. It's great. It's great fun. Can you think of anything better than cleaning out a cat box? It's great. And our cat has got to have this special kind of stuff. Otherwise, he won't crap in it. This cat that we got, it'll crap in only, like, pearls. I have to go to a jewelry mart and buy diamonds, and the cat will then and only then take a dump in the box. Otherwise, it'll crap right in the middle of my house. There's a special cat litter. I don't know what it's called. I think it's called a Squizzy Cat. That's it. And it comes in a big tub. And you pull back the lid of this thing and you smell it. It's like frankincense and myrrh. It smells like, it's beautiful. It's like a patchouli incense. And it's a very finely granulated stuff, and you pour it there into the cat box, and then the cat gets in and sniffs around in there, and then and only then deigns to take a dump into it. Have you ever in your life seen any juncture in your life had to please someone, had been happy to see something take a crap in anything that you just worked on? And it's about $45 a pound, and you either can have a cat crap into it, or you can have your pool deck done in it, whatever you'd like. When in your life, I ask you, have you ever worked so hard on something and hoped that someone took a crap into it? That's what we're doing with a cat. Please, kitty. You know, you got to hear us. We sound like utter morons. Here, kitty. Come on, kitty. You know, here you go. And she's like, meow. And she's looking at it. It's like, she's sniffing around. Ah, to hell with you. And she'll go out. She'll take a dump right in the middle of the den or something. I'm like, what is up? So I clean it out. We pour it out. Then you pick the cat up and you put her into it and you go, good kitty, good. And she's, okay, she figures, all right, I'll make the humans happy. Crap. Just this once. But I'm telling you, if you guys don't clean this box out in 30 minutes, I'm crapping in the middle of the kitchen again. And we're all like overjoyed. So I'm spending like, what, $45 to $50 a pound on this freaking cat litter. That's more than I'd spend on cocaine. I'm just kidding. Don't use it. Never have. Well, only off a hunting knife. I'm all grown up now. That was then, this is now, and here I am, 255 pounds. I don't snort coke anymore. I eat garlic mashed potatoes. No, did I say eat? I'm sorry. I sniff, snort, inhale garlic mashed potatoes. So then we got this rat, which is a cool rat, but then these fish. I don't know, the kids went to one of the church bazaars, a festival deal or whatever the hell it is. So, you know, you throw a nickel and you get it into a hat and you get a goldfish in a bag. Not a bad thing. Well, the kids bring these goldfish. Hey, look what I got, a goldfish. I go, yeah, so when we get home, we'll flush it down a toilet. No! Wait a minute, you can't seriously be considering, we want to keep it, let's get a goldfish bowl and fish food and all kinds of stuff. Oh, come on. And my wife's like, no, the kids, they have a right. It helps them see life. It helps them see. And by the way, my wife wants our rat to have baby rats so the kids can, quote, see the cycle of life, end quote. I said, baby, I saw that cycle of life. You know what a mother rat does with the baby rats? You don't want to know. But they all grow up to be rats. I don't want to say, but one time we had a male rat and a female rat, and the female gave birth to the little ones, and it was like there were none left the next day. And I don't want to say what happened, but let's just say teriyaki sauce might have helped. Oh, boy. All right, so she went, so that's the cycle of life. Anyway, we got this stinking fish. The filthiest fish on God's earth is a goldfish. It's filthy. It stinks. It craps. There's another thing that's just crapping everywhere. And there's Phil Hendry, not my wife, not the kids. There's Phil making it more pleasurable for an animal to crap someplace. That's my lot in life. That's my job. That's my job at our house. Hey, honey, I'm home. Great. Clean out the cat box. This is how I contribute to the better functioning of our family. I come home and make it more pleasant for our pets to go to the bathroom. So we went to PetSmart and we got one of these big goldfish tanks. Well, it's a nice tank and it puts filtered air, you know, it aerates or oxygenates the water. And it's got little rocks in the bottom. Well, within 2 days, the thing is like yellow because the fish are in there peeing their brains out in that thing. And it's got this funky fish food we're using, man. So you put that in there, it craps it up. I clean that, and it takes a half hour to clean this bloody thing out. Because you got to take the rocks out. You got to take the thing out. You got to take the fish out. And God forbid, you better put the fish in water that's room temperature, or it's going to be too cold for them. My wife says to me, it shocks them. It's bad for their scales. I don't care. I'm throwing them in there. No, you got to make it room temperature. Please, I want to throw it. No. Okay. So I, throw the fish in there, and then I'm cleaning it out. And, of course, now I'm worried that the fish are in shock, so I'm looking at the fish after I throw it in there. And the big one isn't, you know, I can't see its gills moving. It's just sort of floating. I go, I think I killed this one. And then I flip the glass, and I kind of hit the glass with my finger, and then the thing starts swimming around. And I'm like, oh, it's ridiculous. Okay, I'm worrying about things I shouldn't be worried about, okay? They're bigger things. Bigger, if you'll pardon the expression, fish to fry. So that's my job there, man. Well, I'm going to, and I've told everybody, and of course my threats are about as meaningful as, you know, in other words, you might as well just throw a rock into the lake and watch the little ripples disappoint. That's how much people really worry about something when I say I'm going to do something, right? I'm telling you, I'm killing these fish. Okay, that's great, Phil. I'm going to kill them. Yeah, okay. So I've said it around there recently. I said, I'm flushing these fish down the toilet. Well, let's wait a couple of days. Okay, I'll wait a couple of days. After that, I'm flushing them down the toilet. Well, I clean it out. See, when the water's clear and clean, it's really pleasant to look at the fish. Yeah, but the water ain't going to be clear and clean much longer. They're going to crap it up. Doesn't it look nice? Yeah, I guess it looks nice. 2 days later, they crap that fish. I swear, I already flushed two down the toilet. I will flush the other two down the toilet. I got four goldfish. Two of them already met their maker. The big goldfish in the air. And these other two are on their way. Davy Jones' locker. And the kid said, what good does it do to flush a fish down a toilet? They can breathe in water. And I said, yeah, it's true. Never thought of it that way. So there's two fish out there in the freaking Pacific Ocean tonight. But the point is I don't have to clean it up. Unless they belong to Save the Bay or something like that. But anyway, I'll go home tonight. I'll clean out their stinking, rotten, lousy fish tank, and I'll let them live one more day. You know who's going to die first? Me. I'm going to go drown myself. So that's the story. Anyway, the reason why I bring it up is, Mike, do you want a couple of goldfish? Seriously, do you want a couple of goldfish? Do you want four kids to go along with a goldfish? Phil Hendry Show.